I'm backing up. Everybody take your Bibles this morning and turn over to him. Your Bibles. So my mind isn't there yet, is it? John chapter 15. I'll get my thoughts here in just a second. Yeah, they're scattered all over. John chapter 15. Our main text this morning is going to be taken out of verse 11, but I want to start our reading down to verse 11 because I think it will help us in our journey through this through the Word of God here at this moment. So John chapter 15 verse 1 says, "I am the true vine." This again is Jesus speaking. "And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love." Now notice verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for your continual guidance in your word and what your word shows us how we should live. But Lord, especially as we look this morning, how that we can have joy through not only your word, but in and through you. Lord, I pray that you'll search each of our hearts this morning. You know the needs, whether it be of salvation, surrendering unto baptism, uniting, or surrendering ourselves unto a greater call of service. Lord, I just pray that you'll guide and direct our hearts, our thoughts, and our minds, and ultimately that we'll be obedient unto you. And I pray that you'll guide and direct my words this morning, that I speak only those things you would have me to say. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, of all the things that one could ever hope to acquire, and if I were to go around and ask you, what do you think would be on the top list of what things that people might want to acquire, I don't know that necessarily the three things I'm going to mention to you might be on that list, but in actuality, the three things, one of the most, I think, important three things that anyone would ever hope to acquire would be joy, peace, and hope. Those three things. And we may have done the same thing. We have searched for all of these things in all kinds of different places. Some people will spend a lifetime trying to acquire joy, peace, and hope and have never known true joy. Some will spend countless amounts of money, endless hours, again searching to the furthermost places. It could be on the top of the highest mountain or in the lowest depths of the ocean, but again, never finding true joy in their lives. If I was to define joy, I'll give it this definition. Joy is a delight of the heart, mind, and soul. And I want you to listen to this: from the consideration or assured approaching possession of a good. Now, what does all that mean? What is joy? What is true joy? It's a delight of the heart, a delight of the mind, a delight of the soul, from an assurance of something approaching, some possession of a good that's coming. And I'll tell you, if you're a child of God, one of the most precious things that we're assured of is what? Having a home in heaven. Well, we already have it. Just being able to be in the presence of the Lord, because we know that that is coming. So irrespective of the trials, the tribulations, irrespective of the onslaught of Satan, it's only for a moment in time. Because our joy, our true joy, is in the assurance, the consideration, the watching, the longing, the waiting of the assurance of a good, and that good is being with the Lord for all of eternity. Now, you know, while Jesus was here on this earth, He also had joy. And His joy was manifested itself out of His joy for not only what He was doing, but also the end result. In fact, if you want to turn over for a moment to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verses 1 and 2. Because here you'll find, and we're going to spend some time looking at Scripture this morning, because I think if we're going to find true joy, we've got to find it in God's Word. Amen? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, keeping our eyes fixed, what do? "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame," and notice what He was assured of that He was going to get after doing all of this, "is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, He was already at the throne of God, but He knew that after coming here and fulfilling everything that the Father had asked Him to do, He knew what was going to come next. He was going to be back with His Father, back in the throne. So it was a joy for Him. And I look at this, you say, well, how could this have been a joy for the Lord to come and to be crucified, to come and be despised, to be whipped, to be rejected, to be put a crown of thorns on His head? Why in the world would this be something that He would have joy? Because He knew that in coming, all men could be saved. The reconciliation between God and man because of what Adam and Eve did there in the Garden of Eden, the reconciliation, being able to have that restoration to where that God and man could be come back together again and reconciled, that He alone could redeem us through the shedding of His blood. And it was a joy for Him, though it was very painful for Him, that He came and gave His life. In fact, and just thinking about this, if you go back and you study in chapter 11 of, which we often term there in Hebrews chapter 11 as the hall of faith, as you will see how many people died for Jesus. They died looking toward Jesus. They died looking back toward Jesus, but they died looking forward to Jesus, that once again they'll be able to see Him face to face. As we read through here in the opening text here of John chapter 15 and verse 11, we should have noted that it is Christ's desire that we have joy of the Lord and that our joy may be full. But it has to be understood here that true joy can only come from the One who is the source of joy. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you will never have true joy. You will never be able to experience true joy. Oh, you might experience things that make you feel good, that make you happy, but they will be just a fleeting moment in time, because that is nothing more than emotion. But joy is something that comes from deep within the individual, deep within the heart. And we read in the opening verses here of chapter 15, we find we also have to, if we're going to experience true joy, we must be engrafted into the vine of Christ so that the joy of the Lord may flow through us. And that's what it said in verse 11. "I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." So not only do we have the joy of the Lord, but we can be full of the joy of the Lord because it is flowing from our vine. We're the branch and the Lord is our vine. And we understand that but again, it has to be prefaced upon our abiding in the Lord, bearing fruit of the Lord, following, as Brother Ron mentioned in Sunday school this morning, about keeping and doing His commandments and abiding in His love. Then we will understand what true joy is truly all about. Again, even many Christians today have not experienced true joy is because of the fact The Lord, for whatever reason, hasn't met their expectation. I will tell you, if not just being saved hasn't met your expectation, I don't know what's going to make you, what the Lord can do anymore to meet your expectation. Amen? Salvation itself ought to bring us great joy into our hearts and our minds. And so also, I want us to understand too is that there has to be a relationship with the Lord if we are going to truly experience true joy in our life. And what I mean by that, now granted, when you came to know Christ as Savior, a relationship was started. But if that's all that you know about Christ, you really don't have a relationship. You don't. And what I mean by that doesn't mean you lost salvation. Don't get me wrong. A relationship is built on learning one another, learning someone else, learning about them, their likes, their desires, their dislikes, things of this nature. And so the more that we read God's Word, the more that we can build that relationship. We know from Scripture, it tells us that there are so many examples from Scripture about how to walk after Christ. Paul says, walk after me or imitate me as long as I do what? Walk after Christ. And so there's so many examples in Scriptures. And as a result of building the relationship, it says in John 16 and 24, Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, you know, one of the things is if we're not building a prayer life in the Lord, if we're not serving the Lord to the fullness that He would have us to do, is that that may be why our joy is waning. You know, as we read in our opening text, think about this, what it says in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. So if we are not building that relationship, we are really have become like dead wood. That no fruit is going to be born from us. And the best that we can do with that life is to cut the illustration is, the best you can do is be burned so that you can give warmth to someone else. That's the best you can do. That's not what the Lord would have us to do. The Lord would have us to be what? To be serving Him, abiding in the Lord, that the words of God abide in us. They flow through us so that we can give Him great joy. And we can receive great joy as well. In John chapter 17, starting at verse 13, it says this, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. This is again Jesus. You want to talk about the Lord's Prayer? This is Jesus' prayer in the garden. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, in fact, this joy of the Lord alone is able to sustain us through our most difficult times. And when we are in our most difficult times, we can still rejoice. We can be glad. We can rejoice in the joyful triumph. And here's the reason why. Because we have a relationship with the Lord. You know, Habakkuk wrote this in Habakkuk chapter 3. And he was talking about the trials of life and things that we experience in life. And here's what he said in Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now that sounds pretty dreary, doesn't it? And especially when you're talking about, you know, Israel. But he goes on to say in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So what he is saying here is that there are perilous times, though that things, you know, that the world just heaps on top of us, though that Satan is trying to inflict pain upon us, trying to create disharmony, disunity, and things of this nature, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Because why? I will joy in the God of my salvation. You can always go back to salvation. I always go back to that point where we started this relationship with the Lord, where we were engrafted into the Lord Himself. So again, what does this mean is that we have to be daily tapping into the source of joy. Otherwise, it's going to be fleeting. Now remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And you remember what ultimately ended up happening there in what he wrote in Psalm 51. One of the things he said was, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." So it tells us that when we sin against God, when we drift away from God, when our relationship with the Lord becomes waning, when we are not into His Word, we're not doing what His Word would have us to do, that tells us that our joy can wane. It's there. We've just placed it in dormant, a dormant state. That's what sin can do to us. When we allow sin to overcome us, when we allow sin to be hidden in our hearts, we hide iniquity in our hearts, we don't confess our sins, we don't get right before the Lord, then what ends up happening is that our joy gets bound up. It gets overshadowed because of the sin. And that's why David had to say, and he prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." But you know, unfortunately, there are too many believers today who are asking, "Well, where's the joy? Where's the joy?" Because they are struggling to claim to it. Where's the joy? And here's the reason why. They're again allowing sin to bind them. That's number one. They're allowing sin to bind them. And I will tell you, we've all experienced that statement. We've allowed sin to bind us. The other thing that we have allowed is Satan to blind us. So not only sin to bind us, we've allowed Satan to blind us. And I will tell you, Satan is going to do everything in his power to blind you of the joy of the Lord. And then what we've allowed, the third thing I think has happened, when people ask, I'm talking about true believers, have asked, "Where's the joy?" is because we've allowed society to bitter us. We've allowed society. And you've heard things, "Well, if God is real, where is He in all of this atrocity? If God is real, why would He allow this to happen?" Or don't talk about God in the workplace. Don't talk about God. Don't talk about your relationship here and there. I will tell you, and especially in this country, what's going on right now is that there is a big push to secularize this country. There's a big push. You say, "Well, Pastor, what are you talking about?" You go back and you look at, 240-something years ago, our country was founded on Christian and Judeo beliefs. And people came here. They hazarded their lives. They hazarded their fortune. They hazarded everything to come here so that there could be religious freedom. Not freedom from religion, but religious freedom. And I will tell you that what is going on, and I believe that Satan is at the very helm of this ship, that what he is trying to do is he is trying to push us away from God. Think about what happened here with COVID. What was one of the first places hit? Shut those church services down. Where people needed to be praying together, where people needed to be associated together, shut those churches down. Those church people are not smart enough to be able to wear a mask, socially distant. They're not smart enough to do this. Only the government can do things for us. And so there's this push right now to secularize our society. They want to get God out. They want every mention of God out. How, for years, what do we have? Get prayer out of schools. Get Ten Commandments off of every historical place and out of every courtroom and everywhere else. Get God out. And then they've stirred this myth of separation of church and state. And as a result, and that's a myth, by the way, it was never intended that God would be out of any of it. God ordained government, God ordained family, God ordained society. He said, "Don't take me out of any of it. Don't take me out of any of it." And that's the way it always was until the last 70, 80 years, 90 years, whatever it's been, this perpetual moving. So where's the joy? It's because we've seen that society has made us bitter in life in many ways. This morning we're going to continue looking at three areas that I think that you will find true joy and be able to hold on to it. But you must open your heart to allow it to flow in. So where is the joy in our salvation? That's the first question. Where is the joy in our salvation? Let us never forget that as a child of God, we are forgiven of our sins. We are forgiven. And again, the Scripture tells us this. In the psalmist wrote in Psalms 103, starting in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is written, or that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." We have been forgiven of all of our sins. Now, does that mean that we're not going to sin in our life? That we are you saying, "Pastor, I don't need to ask God to forgive me"? No, we have a dual nature. But as my spiritual nature is that I will never sin again. It will never sin. It has been completely cleansed. It is completely pure. And in fact, the Scripture also tells us that as far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. There is not one thing that you and I can ever do to cause us to be broken from our relationship of salvation in the Lord. Now, can we break our fellowship? Most definitely. Can it cause us to seem to have lost our joy? I've already said, most definitely. But you see, as a child of God, though we sin, I praise God, and I'm not giving you license to sin, but though we sin, and we're all going to do it, but don't you go out here and say, "Well, Pastor said, because I'm a human individual, I'm just going to do it, so therefore I'm going to do it." I'll tell you, you start tempting God, He may call you home quicker than you want to go home. And you'll be judged for that. But I praise God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And I always like to add there a little bit, a little preacher license, and to renew the fellowship that we had lost because we were sinning. Think about our salvation. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I will tell you, my friends, this morning is that if your joy has been waning, remember your salvation. If you're truly saved, if you're truly a child of God, remember the salvation of the Lord. By the way, it's not your salvation anyway, it's His. He has imparted His righteousness unto us because we did what? We repented of our sin. We placed our faith and trust in Jesus. And He said, "Everyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're redeemed by our Savior. You know, no one could redeem us from the depths of hell. No one can reconcile us back to God other than Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1:18-19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers." Now I will tell you, if there was anything that the fathers could have done, they would have reconciled us. But they couldn't. But the Scripture says in verse 19 of that text, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Because why? Because Jesus was made a curse for us. He died in our stead. We've been washed from our sins. And again, we're talking about salvation and what the Lord did for us, where we were initially engrafted here into this vine, Jesus Christ, as we opened in chapter 15. We've been washed from our sins. We've been given this Spirit-quickened life. And in fact, one of the things that we find here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Paul writing to Titus said this in Titus chapter 3 and 5, "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Because why do we need the renewing of the Holy Ghost? Because we were spiritually dead. How did we get spiritually dead? Go right back to the garden. Don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, because on the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. They ate of it. They died spiritually. we have died spiritually because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And that's why it says in Ephesians 2 and 1, "And you hath He quickened, you hath He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." But do you know one of the things? Being saved is not just enough. If you want to have true joy, now don't get me wrong, being saved is great. But it does not develop a relationship in the Lord if we're just saved. There needs to be a relationship. Think about this, is that many times people say, well, they have a best friend. How did that individual become your best friend? I know. You saw somebody on Facebook and you asked to be friended with them and they friended you. And so just because they friended you, that means they're your best friend. I know that's how you got a best friend. No? No, it didn't do that. In fact, before Facebook was ever invented, ever put together, a best friend was somebody that you demonstrate care to, you demonstrate love to, and not only that, they reciprocated. They gave you care, they gave you love. And you know, through thick and thin, you ever want to find out who your true friends are? Get into a valley. Get into a valley and you'll find who your true friends are. My point is that when we look at this friendship and this relationship with the Lord, it has to be because of the fact is that we're studying His Word. That we're in His Word. We're applying His Word. We're reading His Word. We're seeing what His Word has to say to us. And understanding our Scripture is the Word of God. We're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If your joy starts to wane, where should you run to? Oh, I know, I need to go to the pastor. My joy is waned. That's where I need to go. No, you need to be on your knees, first and foremost, praying to the Lord. And then we also need to be in the Word of God. We can draw strength from the Word of God because our joy can return to us. I will tell you, if you have sin in your life, it's going to expose it. Oh, by the way, don't make your Bible just a holy Bible. What I mean by that, don't cut out the places that you don't like and make it holy because there's just wind blowing through. Take the 66 books as the entire Word of God that He's given us. You know what John wrote? John wrote, he says, if everything that Jesus did was written down, we wouldn't have enough volumes of books to be able to hold all of it. I praise God that it's 66 that I can hold in my hand. Everything that we need to know about the Lord and serving the Lord can be found in these 66 books. Everything. How to live for the Lord. How to serve the Lord. How to confess before the Lord. How to do what He would have us to do. And we're reminded from the Word of God and we're strengthened. You know, there's times, how many times have you gotten up on a day, a given day, and just went to the world or whatever, and you say, I just don't feel saved today. Salvation is not a feeling. Salvation is knowledge. Well, where do I get reminded? I go right back to the Word of God. Because you know, some days you just don't feel saved. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am saved for all of eternity. Not because I said it, but because the Lord tells me in His Word. He tells us in John chapter 1 verse 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And if you've been born of God, there's no separating you. Read Romans chapter 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul gives a whole litany of things. Can death separate you? No. Who can bring a charge against you? No one. Jesus Himself sits as our mediator. He is our intercessor. And He is there as our advocate. He was our propitiation. He was our atonement. He was our all in all. He sits there before the Father. And when Satan comes to accuse us, the Father says to the Son, how is it? They're one of ours. Why are they one of ours? Because my blood was shed and it's been applied to them. You can read that in Scripture. You can see that. It should encourage you with regards to the fact is that we know without a shadow of a doubt, we have the record, we have the witness that we are children of God and nothing can separate us. The Lord told us in John chapter 10, He says, You are held in my Father's hand. Then he goes on to say, I and my Father are one. And then we find is that the Spirit has done what? The Spirit has come and sealed that bond until the day of redemption. We're there forever. So you have the Trinity that's got you. If you can lose salvation, first of all, you were never saved to start with. But if you are saved, you have the triune being saying, no one can separate you. I'm holding you. Again, we may feel destitute. We may feel at times desperate. But I'll ask you, when was the last time you went back to hear to God's Word? When were you on your knees praying to God's Word, being reminded, you know, the Lord tells me I'm saved for all of eternity. Why am I quibbling? Why am I squallering? Why am I wobbling and warbling? Why am I doing all these things? When the Lord tells me I'm a child of God, I can be an overcomer. I will tell you, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have issues. We are still frail people. It doesn't mean we're not going to have heartache. We're still frail people. But I will tell you, I can go back and my joy does not have to be robbed because I'm allowing Satan to blind me or I'm allowing my sorrow to bind me because I know who my Redeemer is and I know that He lives and I know that one day I will be able to stand before Him. That's where my joy is all about. And that's what we find what Jesus was trying to say. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Stay abiding in me. Stay abiding in my Word. And you will be strong. You will be formidable. But I'll tell you, it's not enough. That's not enough. So I asked you, where's the joy in your salvation? But I'm also ask you this question. Where's the joy in our sanctuary? Now, what is the sanctuary in this state that I'm mentioning? It's the meeting place where we assemble. It should be a place where the joy of the Lord is found. And I'm going to give you some reasons why. First of all, the Lord tells us, I will meet with you in the assembly, in the sanctuary. So it's where the Spirit of God is. And the Lord stated that when two or three are gathered together in my name, in a covenant relationship, He will be in their midst. And He tells us that in Matthew 18 and 20. Now I want to tell you this. I want to be very clear on this. If we are out somewhere, and we're with in the presence of other believers, can the Lord be in our midst? Well, the answer is yes. Don't get me wrong. But when He was talking about where two or three are gathered together in my name, I truly believe He was talking about the church. He's talking about the sanctuary. And you say, well, why would He say two or three are gathered together in my name? Because I will tell you this, again, we go back to culture, we go back to tradition, we go back to law in the Old Testament, where they would have understood some of this a little bit more what we are. In our day and age, in our Western society at times. But the thing is that to produce a witness, credible witnesses, minimally you needed two. Three were better. Because if they all agreed in the same thing, then it brought forth a great testimony, right? See, there's one thing of it, two or three. And think about this. When a missionary goes out to plant a church, sometimes all he has is two or three to get started. And they have gone to do what? Plant a church that God has called them to do. A church has sent them to do. And so you have two or three, and they are there to witness Jesus Christ. They're a witness about the gospel. They're a witness about what it means to serve God in His fullness. And so when we look at this, and that's why I said I truly believe what he was talking about was the church, is that when you come together where two or three are gathered together in my name in a covenant relationship, the Lord is going to be there. And He's going to work with us. And we will encourage one another and our joy will be full in the sanctuary. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 134, starting in verse 1, Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. The saints of God are also there in the sanctuary. What better group of people to be around than fellow believers? Amen. Where are you going to draw strength? Where are you going to draw joy? Where are you going to draw encouragement? In fact, the psalmist wrote in Psalms 132 and 9, Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. The psalmist also wrote in Psalms 122 and 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Why is it so important that we come together? That we come together on the Lord's Day. So we come together on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. We come together on Wednesday. Why is it so important that we come together? It is for the fact is that we can encourage one another. In fact, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, let us consider, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we find that in the sanctuary where we have a kindred spirit, we have a kindred love, we have come together to worship the Lord. Now yes, we fellowship one with another, that's true. But you see, it's not all about fellowshipping one with another. We have come to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have come in this relationship in the sanctuary that we are here gathered as witnesses. You know, our prayer is witnesses of who Jesus Christ is. And when the pastor is standing, the preacher is standing up here and preaching that Jesus came to save the lost. He came to heal the downtrodden. He came to encourage. And the people of the congregation are, amen, preacher. That's exactly what he did to do. We are all doing what? We're abiding in Christ. We're abiding in his love. We're abiding in his word. And we're saying, in reality, preacher, preach on, because the lost need to hear this message. The saved need to hear this message. Because again, this world has tied us down, has pulled us down. And when people decide that they're just going to stay out of church because of whatever reason, is that I just, you know, and I'm not talking about on a day where things just fall apart. I'm not talking about that. Of course, that, you know, I'm talking about today. We got bad weather today, right? Some of the roads may be inclement, you can't get through them. That's not what I'm talking about. When you get up and you state, I don't need to go to church today. I've got other things that are more important. Now, you may not say that, but that's what you said. I have more things that are important than being in the house. They're not going to miss me. They're not going to miss me. They're not going to miss me. One service. Oh, and then, here's what happens. Well, I wasn't there and nobody called to find out where I was at. So that just proved my point. They're not going to miss me. So the second week comes up. They're not going to miss me again. So, and nobody calls to find out where they're at. Oh, they just proves my point. They don't miss me. They don't care about me. And then you start to see the third Sunday. And after a while, is that, what Sunday? Oh, I got things to do. Let's just do them. Let's go places. Let's map out a day journey. We'll just do all kinds of things. You know, it's our family time. I'll tell you what, right now, is that the best family time you'll ever have is in the church house. And it's also following the commandments of the Lord. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. And we need each other more and more. Because as I mentioned, one of the third thing that really starts to stunt our joy in the Lord is society makes us bitter. And as a result, our joy starts to become diminished. I'll tell you, when I see you, I told you last year, we went through, Brother Ryan and I stood up here for 2 months. It was 85 days, almost 3 months. We stood up here and we preached to a camera. We preached to a camera. I would do it again if I had to. But because I could not see you, it was disheartening. Now you could see me online, but I could not see you. And if I was to ask Brother Ron, he'd attest to the same thing. Because you see, having you in our presence when we're preaching, it makes the Word of God more powerful than just preaching to a camera. I thank God for technology, but technology will never replace assembling in God's house. And when people get this idea that I can come to church when it's convenient for me, I will tell you right now, your joy is going to quickly be overshadowed. It ought to burn within your heart. If you can't be here, and I realize there are times that we get sick or something happens that we can't be here. But when I choose not to be here, it ought to just burn within me. There ought to be so much guilt upon me Pastor, you're laying some guilt trips. No, I'm just telling you what it ought to be. Because you missed out on an opportunity to be here for the Lord. If you have come just for you, you're here for the wrong reason. You're here for the wrong reason. As I gave in the devotional this morning, think about it. Is that this man that had been laid up for 38 years, he couldn't even go to temple. Couldn't go to temple for 38 years because he was on his bed. And on the Lord's Day was healed. And you know what? Where did he go? To the temple. Exactly where he needed to be. At the temple. You see, that has to stir within us that when we don't come because of just, we made up some reason, excuse, it ought to just burn within us. If you want true joy, if you want your joy to be sustained and fulfilled, meet the Lord and meet fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, members of this congregation in the Lord's house. And another thing to be reminded, if the Scriptures of God are here, we don't come here just to lay out a feast and have potluck. We come here to feast upon the Word of God. That's what is to fill us and bring us true joy. And in fact, it says, the psalmist wrote this in Psalms 119, starting at verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And where are we reminded of this? In the Word of God, in God's house, as we've come together in the sanctuary. We study together. We see that the Word of God is good for us, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So I've said, where's the joy of our salvation? Where is the joy of our sanctuary? And the last thing I want to ask you this morning, where's the joy in your service? Where's the joy in my service? Now, when I'm talking about service here, I'm not talking about in the sanctuary. We've already talked about that. What I'm talking about is doing our service unto the Lord. And this is about finding joy. Finding joy in what we do for the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about just going out of here and inventing some ministry and say, well, I've really found joy in doing that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing what the Lord has called us to do. I'm talking about doing kingdom work. Working for the King. And being reminded of this is that, and I will tell you this, laboring for the Lord. And I want this to settle in your heart this morning. What if no one labored for the Lord to tell you about Jesus? Let that sink in a little bit. What if someone says one day that, you know what, I just don't want to serve the Lord today and I'm not going to go over here and witness to somebody. And that somebody would have been you if they had made a choice that of themselves, I'm not going to do that. I've got other things that are more important. And if I stop to talk to them about Jesus Christ, you know, it's just going to encumber me and it's just going to slow me down and I can't get from where I need to be. What I've got to do is important. And the Lord just keeps tugging on your heart. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about... And you know what? Sometimes we just keep walking. But I'll tell you, it'll haunt you. It'll haunt you. And even if you get to that point to where that you actually... when you get to where you need and if things don't work right and you're going to be reflected, you know, if I just stopped. Because you see, the true joy would have been doing the service unto the Lord as He's leading your heart. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry to preach the gospel. That's what He did, to preach the gospel. I will tell you right now is that not everyone's going to be called to be a pastor. Not everyone's called to be a preacher, but you know what the Scripture says? How beautiful are the people that do what? That are sent to preach the Word of God. That word preach means to proclaim. How beautiful are the feet of the people that go to proclaim, to be that witness that God would have us to be. And so as a result, You know, as a result, we serve the Lord until when? Until the Lord calls us home. You know, Paul said near the end of his life, he says, I finished my course with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so one of the things in our service to the Lord, now granted, there's going to be times where we're going to be by ourselves sharing something with someone else. But remember in Scripture, you'll find is that there were times that they were sent out two by two. First of all, He sent His apostles two by two. Then He says He sent out 70 two by two. And I will tell you, when you go and witness, or you're out knocking on doors, you're witnessing someone, and you have someone with you, it just encourages one another. Your joy is just more, you know, been more fulfilled. I will tell you, there are countless times that, and I can't number all these times, how I have been with someone else. We've gone and we've knocked on somebody's door, and even if they rejected us, now, it doesn't feel good when they reject us. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't feel good. It's not they're rejecting me or the individual that's there. They're rejecting Christ. So it doesn't make you feel good. But because you did that which was right, you did what we were called to do. Remember, we're not responsible for the outcome. We are the witness. And for us, when we walk away, is that what ends up happening is that we can rejoice because the Lord gave us the opportunity to share the gospel with someone else. Even though they rejected it at that moment, we got to plant seeds. We may have watered seeds. It's only God that's going to give the increase. So just because the person might have at that moment rejected the Word of God. And I've been to places that I've knocked on doors and been with some of you and knocked on doors and someone had maybe made a statement is that, you know, you're just the fourth person that's come by my house and I had this group telling me about how to believe or what to believe in this group and now you're over here telling me another way to believe. You know what I told the man? Stop right now. I'm going to stop speaking, but I'm going to say one thing, but I want you to stop right now. A lot of people have come and they've told you how to live a better life, how to get to heaven, and things of this nature. But I said, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that. I ask you to pick up John chapter 3 and read John chapter 3. From God, I said, do you got a Bible? Yeah, I got a Bible. Open the Bible to John chapter 3. I want you to read the whole chapter. Read the whole chapter. Because you see, you're going to put me in a box like all those other people. You're going to put me in a box with all those other people and you're going to say, well, this is just another way. Somebody's out here peddling how to get to heaven. I want you to read what God has to say. Now, to this day, I do not know if that man ever received Christ as Savior. I do not know if he opened his Bible. I do not know if he read John 3:16, or John chapter 3 rather. The whole, you must be born again. I don't know if he read it. But you see, I felt at that moment, the best thing for me to do was stop talking and say, open God's Word. Because God's Word will tell you everything that you need to know. And it's not from me, it's from God. That He sent Jesus to tell you, you must be born again. And He also says in John 3:16, for He says, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that's when the Apostle Paul was here when he made the statement recorded in Romans 1:16, says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But we're told Jesus, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said this in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But I will tell you, letting your light so shine has to come from the very depths of what lights you is the joy of the Lord in your heart. The joy of the Lord in the very bowels of your very being. The joy of the Lord is the reason I want to tell you about Jesus. The reason I want to tell you about Jesus is because you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And you see in our service, and again, think about this, is that in our service of the Lord, you're still not all alone. You always have the Lord with you. But also think about this, doesn't it make us want to do it more when we work with other saints? When we work with other members of our congregation, that we labor together, we're like-minded. And you know, when you're working with someone else and you get the door slammed in your face, yeah, it stings. It does at times. But I'll tell you, is that that person is there, you're there to do what? Console one another, encourage one another. Because you see the next door you knock on, and that person says, you start talking, and they will say, come on in and talk to me. I've been waiting for somebody to tell me about heaven, how to get there. And I'll tell you about that time, hairs on the back of my neck are just standing up. I can't wait to get inside. And you're praying for that opportunity. Oh, will you listen? And then God gives you, and I will say this, an honor. When He gives it to you, it's an honor that you get to witness someone snatched out of the depths of hell. That is one of the greatest opportunities that you get to see. Remember, you didn't save them. They trusted in Jesus, and Jesus saved them. But when you get to witness that, when you get to witness a lost soul coming to know Christ as Savior, I will tell you, you can't wait to get to the next house. You can't wait to share with what God has done, what He allowed you to witness. You can't wait to share what. And remember, somebody else may have labored and planted. Somebody else may have labored and watered. You just happen to be there at the moment that they were ready to trust in Christ as Savior. So being able to work with the saints, other saints, being able to win the lost, I will tell you, it is something that is just overjoys us. But it has to all start with this. I am abiding in the Lord. I choose to abide in the Lord. I choose to remember the salvation of the Lord. I choose to be in the sanctuary of the Lord. I choose to be in the service of the Lord. And then understand that that's where the true joy is going to come from, is in my service. These things, the Lord said, have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So I'll ask you this morning, where is the joy? Where's your joy? And be reminded of one of the greatest things that we have as a congregation, that the Lord tells us in the Great Commission, where He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Where you go, as you go, teach all nations about Jesus Christ. Win them unto Christ. And then when they're won, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why? So they can become a part of this sanctuary, a part of this service unto the Lord, a part of this congregation. And then we do what? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, so they may do what? Go out and witness. Go out and serve the Lord. Because there we will truly find joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, verse 11 says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And Peter writes this in our last verse this morning. He says in 1 Peter 1, 8-9, whom having not seen you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What do we have? Is that trusting in Christ? The joy has started. The seed of joy has started. It is within us. But it has to be developed. It's a process. That joy is going to be developed. And as a result of that joy, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you get into His Word, is that we still have in front of us, I know that I'm going to receive the end of my salvation. It's not my salvation, it's His, but He says, I'm going to get it. And what is the end of my salvation? Eternal life with Christ. In His presence. Being able to look upon Him face to face. Being able to see Him in all His glory. Being able to see what Moses could not see. Remember Moses said, oh, can I just look at you, God? Can I see you? And He says, no man can look upon me. Not in his physical nature. Not in his sinful nature. Even though we're a child of God, you can't look upon Him. And so what did He do? He allowed Him just to give Him a little glimpse of glory to see Him. But you know, one day, I'm not going to have that little glimpse. I'm going to be able to see Him face to face. And where does my joy come from? It's because I'm serving Him daily. Serving Him daily. We cannot let, that's why I need you, you need me. We cannot let Satan blind us. We cannot let sin bind us. And we cannot let this society make us bitter in the Lord. Because you get bitter in the Lord, and what's going to happen is your joy is going to wane. Be uplifted today in the joy of the Lord and in His salvation. Let us stand as our musicians come for hymn of invitation. Maybe this message has spoken to your heart. Maybe you felt downtrodden. I hope you have been uplifted this morning. But again, our prayer is that if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, that today is the day of salvation, because therein you will find joy. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, we thank you so much for your word and what it's taught us. And I thank you so much you've reminded us of what we have in you. Lord, you know our heart's needs. You know how we may have been encumbered about, but Lord, you're there to relieve us. You've said that we can come before you. No issue is too small. No issue is too great. But you are our high priest. We can come before you and we can get things right so that that joy might be fulfilled in us. Whatever the need of the hour is, may we surrender our lives and our hearts unto you this morning. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.